True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Been around for over a few couple decades plus. We're here to serve you. We've been doing it a long time. We're honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto. Our mission statement is pretty much to be the best of the best, and we appreciate all your business and support. Patience as of recent, as I've made it clear, we've been kind of in an interesting transition stage. It's actually proving to be one of the best times. I've got some great people here, and good spirits, good work ethic, just a really refreshing. It's very nice. I'll just say that, but it's not always easy. We were here till 3 in the morning last night trying to get through a tremendous amount of packages wrapped up. It's just been kind of crazy. Trust me, those of you who are, you know, are waiting, you know, you're all good. We got everything pretty much ready to go, and we're just always, the money keeps coming in. The market is a little bit challenging as far as, praise God, we've been in business 25 years, because if I hadn't, it'd be so difficult to get metal. But luckily, we've had, such a long history that not only do we have connections, we have a pretty heavy clientele base that keeps the stuff flowing through us, which is a blessing. But I really believe with what's going on in the marketplace, I think the world that we're looking at it today is definitely on a transitional course, to put it lightly. I think it's pretty apparent that, well, one thing, we've become so numb. I think one thing that just blows my mind is how numb we are to crisis. They've just raised the bar so much to the point where, the metals react when, people are rioting and burning stuff down, and then we've got like good old Antifa and Black Lives Matter. What a crock. I mean, seriously, do Black Lives Matter? Yep. But why? Their websites are crystal clear that's not even their goal. Their goal is apparently to impose, this Marxist anarchist philosophy. They're using these as vehicles to destroy America as we know it. And their practices are only going to make poverty worse. I mean, it's the theory of chaos. It's, hey, the more chaos you make, the more control you can gain if you're corrupt and crooked and preparing ahead of time. Today, Biden's out, Jacob Blake, who was shot down by the police in Wisconsin. I'm not saying anything, positive or negative. I mean, there's some video out. It looks bad. But the thing is, those cops, if they messed up, they're going to pay dearly. And as a cop, I don't know, they take so much risk now into their hands because, it's not like they're millionaires. They're making a good working man's wage, benefits and all that. And if they blow it, I mean, they're called to make split-second decisions, and they have a perspective that looking at a video after the fact tells you nothing. I mean, standing there, watching a situation from afar versus being in the heart of it, you don't get a 3D, 360-degree perspective when you're in the middle of an incident. Just not the case. So it's not right for us to judge. As bad as it looks, if it looks bad or whatever, you just let justice prevail. And you know what? You make sure, if you're worried about justice prevailing, then you apply that energy rather than burning things down and beating people up. apply that energy to the court system. I'm not going to say that blacks haven't had a tough go of it. And, but in, you know, and I mean, even Senator Tim Scott, who is a wonderful man, has said that even in D.C., he's had the D.C. police pull him over and deny him access to stuff that because they didn't believe he was a senator. I mean, what in the heck? I've been to D.C. The D.C. police, they cover that certain area. It's like, that's pretty bad if they don't know who their senators are. They could, you know, a quick search would solve that. So there is some, you know, innate racism, and we need to work through all that. Martin Luther King said it best when he said, you need to judge a man not by the color of his skin, but by his character, okay? And I know people have different views on all this stuff, and they've been fed, you know, different theories on, you know, race stuff and biblical twisting. And the bottom line is, folks, they're God's children. When Christ was on earth, I mean, you know, there's all kinds out there. And it's not for us to sit and judge all that. It's for us to just do God's will and be good. And, you know, it's like in, was it Proverbs 26? It says, what is desired most in a man is his kindness, which is interesting. That's a strong statement when it's like, there's a lot of things you can be, but if you really want to be something that is desirable by others, be kind. You got nothing to lose. That's, you know, as far as life philosophies go, it's important. One thing I've learned is you want to build bridges. You want to be a bridge builder. I mean, everywhere you go, you want to be good. You want to treat people right and do what's fair and right and just. When people are behind the, you know, in the background, like watching TV or talking to people in a, you know, in a setting that's not really connected to the situation, we can get pretty hypothetical and theoretical. But when we're right there on the, you know, when we're face to face with people, that's when our senses should be coming to, and we should feel the Spirit encouraging us to do what's right and good and true. You know, love is patient and kind and all that. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, that's who we need to be. And that's the first thing. I'd be the first one to jump up and fight for any of these people's rights legitimately. I don't think some of the things they claim to be rights are rights, but and I wouldn't fight for those, but any of the constitutional rights that have been specified and delineated in the Declaration of Independence and so on, you know, I'd be the first one to go to the mat to protect those. And so when these people, when, you know, injustice is bad, that's one of my hot buttons. When things are not just, I get ticked, okay? So if someone gets mistreated, or if that Jacob Blake was wrongly shot, and it looks like he was. I mean, it makes you wonder, you know, this stuff, like, it's a, you know, you see a video of him shooting a guy 7 times. He was trying to break up a fight, the black guy was, and, you know, all I've picked up, he was apparently trying to break up a fight of 2 women or something, and he was going back to his car, and I don't know, a cop told him to stop, and he didn't, and the guy just fills him full of lead. If that's the case, man, that cop's done, you know. You never know what's going on in that guy's mind or what he saw or thought he saw. But the thing is justice, that is unjust if that's what happened. So you let justice be served. You fight for the justice system. Protesting is the American way. And it's a way you get attention, you get noticed, and you don't back down. I get it. But rioting and trashing things and burning down the house, threatening to kill people and going to, you know, the McCloskey's house or whatever and saying horrible things that they're going to do to his wife and all this garbage. And then the guy comes out with a, you know, he defends his house with an AR, and then the nut job prosecutor's coming after him. Yeah, I mean, these things, we've just lost it. There's this politically correct mentality. It's, I don't even know what it is. It's more like a radical thing. You know, the polls I don't know how many people watch. I haven't watched all of it or much of it, but you had the Democratic National Convention, which showed America as this dark, horrible, rotten place that has just been destroyed by the evil Donald Trump, and just how rotten, and I mean, it's just on and on, and they say terrible things. You know, he's driving the country into the ground, just like he did his businesses that he bankrupt. You know, and it's just trash, trash, trash. Folks, you know, we, first of all, do not want our children to listen to this trash. You're raising these politicians that have this vile mouth. They're destroying our children. They are role models. We're always like, oh, look at the NBA players and look at the NFL. They're role models for our kids, and they need to behave a certain way. And, you know, and that went round and round. A lot of them do a nice job. Look at these politicians on the left. I mean, they're vicious and they're vile and they're reckless and they're, I mean, are you really want our children behaving like this? And all the terrible things, you know, Jerry Nadler, and you got Adam Schiff, and what, and Pelosi, the stuff Pelosi's coming out with, you know, is just, all of a sudden they drag the Postmaster General, totally innocent guy, they drag him in front of Congress and just verbally abuse him. And I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to get him to step down like they did with Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, when they wanted to start the Trump scandal on Russia. So they're trying. So they brought this new postmaster general in front of Congress, and they just slapped him and whacked him and verbally trashed on him, and they accused him of being a liar and a thief having the fix in already on the election for Trump and all this just garbage. They're terrified of losing. They're terrible sports, you know. I learned something a long time ago in business. You don't tell somebody what's wrong with your competition. You tell them what's right with you. If you, you know, if your competition is flawed, they'll figure it out. But you have to sell yourself. And you have to stand behind what you say. And that's it. Well, their whole pitch is, we're not Trump. Trump is bad. Trump's not that bad. I don't care what side of the fence you are. I suppose if you're in a total box and you've never have any fresh air and you see headlines at the newsstand now and then that are just twisted to the nth degree, maybe you're that naive. But people, you know, they do have access to information, and I would hope that even those that are liberal or whatever, if they're getting notifications on their phone, get Fox News apps or something. Fox News is not as conservative as people want us to think. It's moderate. We just think it's conservative now because the media has gone so radically to the left. It's absolutely just full throttle socialism, and this is unlike anything. So the question is, the pendulum swings. The pendulum swings both ways, I hear people say. Well, a lot of countries that have done what we've been doing, the pendulum doesn't come back. It breaks. Morally and ethically, spiritually, a country can only take so much. This country was built by God, for God. People shed blood. Up to 75% of our founders and or families were lost who signed the Declaration of Independence. They knew what decision they were making at the time. And then we have people out there mocking them and calling them bigots and tearing down, you know, Ulysses S. Grant, beautiful statues, you know, monuments that were phenomenal. They don't know anything about history. They even get taught these lies about Christopher Columbus. They all believe he hauled a bunch of slaves back. Well, do you know why? I've discussed this before. There was about 1,300 of them on an island. When they were coming down the Caribbean chain, they ran into a cannibal tribe that was vicious and powerful. One of their boats had been down the Caribbean and back up or something, and this cannibal tribe figured out there was more tribes down south, and these guys were vicious. And they knew that these cannibals were going to go after these passive tribes. So they went down ahead of them. And through a translator, they said, hey, these guys are coming. They're bad. and they'll kill you and they'll eat you. And they said, we'll take you back to the queen only as slaves. That's the only way we can justify carrying you back. And something like 950 of them agreed. The rest stayed behind. Every one of the ones that chose to stay behind was killed. When these natives came back, one of the agreements Christopher Columbus had was that he'd give them better treatment and get them in really good places in England and whatever. And he did. He got them into some of the highest end families and and some of the best stuff. And they, the story is, where did I learn this story? First of all, it's in history books now that I've looked, but I learned it in the Southern Pacific, down in one of the southernmost Caribbean islands when we were in St. Lucia, which is right off the coast of Venezuela. And I was told this by the natives. And they were saying, Christopher Columbus gets a bad rap. They had monuments to him. The natives had statues to thank him for saving 950 of their ancestors or their descendants or their ancestors. And they, that doesn't hit the media. We're just fed lies, folks, all the time, just to breed hate and contention and division. And it's almost like we have a desire built within us to take on a cause. I mean, we're built to fight. We're built to stand up. Everybody thinks, hey, you know what the best life is? They're like, I want my little farmhouse out on some land. I want to grow a bunch of my own food or whatever. And I just, whatever I need to get by, I just want enough money in the bank. And I just want to be left alone. Do you really think that's what God called us to this earth for? So you can just go park out in the nowhere and be left alone? I don't think so. Look, spend a minute and think of the capabilities that he gave us. We get accepting things as a baseline. We don't look at how magnificent his creation is and our abilities. You think about all of our moods and temperament and memory and speech abilities feelings towards others and the ability to go through hard times and share those experiences with others and help encourage others who are experiencing the same thing. That's where we belong, and we belong out there, defenders of justice. It doesn't always mean, when I say fight, it doesn't always mean to, raise up arms, but we need to be standing up for what's true and right. It's one thing to go town and protest. It's another thing to use your abilities, wherever they are, to infiltrate whatever you have access to and to get to know people that are above you in the world, not manipulatively and not, with an ulterior motive, but just because that's what life is. It's like there's a lot of verses in Proverbs about, certain activities and behaviors will lead you before kings. Well, you know what those activities and behaviors are. It's hard work. It's honesty, integrity, it's a controlled tongue, it's even having good hygiene, looking nice, looking your best all the time, all those things. God wants us. That's where goodness comes on this earth. God is the author of everything that's good. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil can create nothing. He can only steal and kill and destroy. Therefore, if you're a child of the living God, you're created in his image. You have the capability and ability to create everything. You can visualize in your mind what you want to be and become that. And it's really hard when I'm dealing with people and employees or whatever, and I'm trying to get them to visualize bigger, 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 bigger. I mean, we have what I call the fly in the box syndrome. Long ago, I saw this at a kind of a seminar thing, a management seminar. There's this fly they had in a big box, Lucite box, maybe 18 inches by 12 by 12. And they had like a magnified camera on it. And this flea, I guess it is, flea, not fly. But this flea could jump you know, 10 inches, and it was microscopic. So they put the flea in a little box during the speech that was maybe 2 inches high and left it there overnight. The next day, when they removed the lid, that flea had jumped a number of times and hit that lid, and that flea would no longer jump higher than the lid on the small box for the rest of its life. It had this limitation placed on it, and it never tried to exceed those bounds again. And I think that that's very representative of what we do. You think when we're children, how big is our imagination? It may not always be realistic. Some, it may not always, how about that? It's not. But, you know, some people as children are more realistic in their imagination than others. And then a lot of us experience things in life that leave us with a sense of powerlessness. There's all kinds of issues and episodes and maybe oversensitivities or being hurt by family members or kids or, you know, all these things. And we get these limitations where we don't try anymore. We give up. So when it's time to use the brain, you cannot create anything without first cognitively, imaginatively doing it in your head. It is a phenomenal skill. It's an incredible impossibility that God gave us. But then we get limitations. We've also got logic and common sense. I've talked to people, you know, who've started businesses, and there's different ways. They're like, it doesn't just come because you imagine it. You first imagine it, and then you make it happen. I know a guy a while ago, a few years back, who was telling me, you know, he had this imagination. He kind of went crazy with this and started a business, and he didn't do any planning or anything, and he just train wrecked it. But the more I talked to him, it was like he just thought, oh, if you dream it, it'll happen. It's like this super hypey. No, you dream it, and then you can make it. It's like an architect dreaming a building. He doesn't just dream the building and then just go out and start throwing stuff together and hope it works out. Then you got to plan it step by step. But we need to do that with ourselves and our presence on the world. I mean, can you imagine the overall impact we could have on people if we really reached our potential, all of us, individually, you know, as believers? We're God's children. We're the salt of the earth, okay? And, you know, the salt, it talks about, you know, when it loses its saltiness, it is done to be trampled underfoot. So salt, you know, applies, salt and light are interesting. They enhance. He calls us the light as well. They enhance what they come in contact with. They brighten it up, or they make food taste better. They preserve salt. Back at the time they were writing this, was one of the, you know, it was a preservative. That's how they preserved most of their food, is they packed it in salt. So they were very familiar with the value of salt, and they were very familiar with the concept when you say, hey, if salt's gone bad, it needs to be trampled underfoot. Well, how does salt go bad? Salt goes bad when it gets contaminated with various items, water, anything else. When it lets the outside environment, or has the outside environment, you know, commingle. In other words, salt applied to any food has an effect. It doesn't mean that to contaminate salt, it doesn't mean that we aren't to be in the world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We need to be salt to the world. We need to watch for contamination. You know what that means. It's like where Paul said in the Bible, beware, you know, when you're counseling another, basically, lest you fall into the same temptation. You know why that is? Exactly what I'm talking about. That's the imagination. You start helping somebody with a problem in a sin, and you start to cognitively imagine it. You start to visualize it. That's the one way you empathize with somebody. Empathy means to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Empathy is mandatory. That's different than sympathy. Sympathy is having pity on somebody, feeling sorry for them. Empathy is putting yourself in other people's shoes. We're called to do that. And we're called to be out brushing against the world, be involved, like I said, like salt. But when we begin to empathize, we have to be careful that we don't get contaminated. Otherwise, it says, you know, the salt will be, you know, trampled underfoot, or it basically becomes of no use. It becomes of absolute waste. Let's see here. I'll grab a scripture on that real quick. It's just kind of popping to my mind. Let's see here. We got, well, this is a different one. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. How about we find another one? That was Mark 9:50. Let's try Luke 14 here and see what we says. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? Well, obviously, you can't season salt. It's a season itself. It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It's thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's a good point, too. Salt, when it loses its saltiness, if you, you know, you think of the parable of the sower, when you fall away and you get contaminated by the world, it's not even good for the soil or the manure pile. The soil's where you grow stuff. Salt kills it. The manure is fertilizer. Salt destroys it. Once it's bad, it's bad. It's got a certain use. We have a use. We're on this earth to operate as salt and light. And we need to just be on call 24/7 praying. But think about it. You're salt and light. I say this because I know of situations where people are out there frustrated with this stuff. They're out brushing against non-Christians or whatever, and they just don't come across right. You want to be intellectually brilliant, you know? Like the U.S. Army Rangers, they say, when you go in to bring something to your CO, be brief, be brilliant, be gone. In other words, keep it short, make it count, and then get out of there. And that's the best you can do in your own life. I mean, obviously we want to have empathy and sympathy, but the point is just be meaningful and direct, but bright and brilliant, wise, when you're touching these lives. I'm saying this because I really feel that we're going into a time that like no other, like they say, the new normal. The new normal is a wreck, but there's going to be a distinguishing point. There's going to be a separation or a division. The wheat from the chaff, if you will. And the body needs to unite. We need to strengthen ourselves. We're in a spiritual battle. We need to, we're children of the living God. We're representations of the God of the Bible, the God of the universe. You represent him. How do you want to represent him? Do you want to be, woe is me, my life's so sad and it sucks so bad and everything bad happens to me? Folks, you know, they always say, it's like, there's a saying, and I don't have it for sure, but it's basically if someone says, hey, how you doing? It's like, well, you tell them fine, because if you complain, they don't want to hear it anyway. I mean, people just don't want to hear that stuff. It's, you know, people want to hear what's good. Now, it's different if you have someone on the inside, but even if you're working through tough stuff in your life, I mean, we, you know, we want to empathize with those, but if we dwell on it too long and too hard, trust me, I've been there. You know, I went through a time, you know, years back that I just had everything piling up, you know, and then, you know, God tells us when we go through hard times, that's how he forms us. They're not accidents. There's nothing amazing in your life that hasn't come through fire. I mean, okay, maybe some gift that God gave you, some talent that you didn't do much to get, you know, that came through the fire of God building it, I guess. But the thing is, you need to hone that and refine it and grow it and maximize it. It doesn't do it on its own. You get these savant musicians that are gifted beyond gifted. Well, they still got to sit and play all day, every day, to perfect that talent, that art. But when you go through life and you're struggling, and this applies to us as a people, as a nation, as an individual, those are the times that you are growing. When you're walking with God and He's testing you, have you ever noticed you keep getting the same tests over and over and over? Well, that's not an accident. That's because you're not passing, or maybe you need to work on it more. I'm not saying you. I'm saying all of us. Me too. If you keep running into the same issues with people, or you just keep clashing, or whatever it is, get yourself a change. Don't just do the same habit. I don't care if it's your spouse, your friend, whatever. Don't repeat the same behavior. It's like Einstein said, definition of insanity to him was repeating the same behavior and expecting different results. Why do we do that? Say the same things, do the same things. It's called being intellectually lazy. God gave us the ability. The supercomputer in each of our minds is beyond anything fathomable that man's ever created. I mean, sure, we can make supercomputers that, you know, can do multiplication with 80 million digit numbers or something. That's one amazing skill, but that's not that useful. Our brains do a lot more. While they're walking and talking and balancing our bodies, I mean, for years I used to watch, I haven't recently, but they have all these computer robotic competitions where they give kids, like college kids, like $1 million if they can reproduce certain activities of the human body. One of them was a hand. If they could do a hand, make a hand, just like our hand that God gave us, and then they had that hand, they're like, okay, pick up that keychain with your pinky. Now, grab the key, you know, while it's on your pinky, and open a door. And oh, by the way, while you're opening that door, you know, before you open that door, pick up this plastic bag with the other finger. And then it all, you know, and it's open the door, and then pick up this glass of water, and then set the bag down. Well, they couldn't do it. And it is the stuff you do with your hand on a daily basis. You don't even think twice about it. And that's just one minor creation that God's given us. So we got to be really grateful and appreciative of what we got and make the most out of what we got and realize how phenomenal we have it. And when we're going through, you know, the Bible, count it all joy, my brethren, when you suffer, when you endure hardship and trials. These are hardship and trials. People are getting it. I have seen, literally, not making this up, I've seen a number of people, women, that have approached me and told me that the events in this world at this time have converted them from liberalism, left wing, all the way to the right, just like that, because they realize we're being lied to. This COVID thing, folks, is one great big deception. You look at all the lies they've told us. Why in the world would we believe COVID? Because they have our best interests in mind so wonderfully? Probably not. I'm going to have to go with the, nah, I don't think so. I don't think they're looking out for us in the least. They're looking out for their own best interest. They want to win at all costs, willing to destroy the nation, destroy people. You know, it's like, I just was reading this thing. It's 16.8% state income tax now, up from 13% in California. We got federal, you know, they keep ramming the federal tax up. They keep wanting to do that more. And even though Trump gave a cut, it wasn't even back to where Bush had it. And then it's like, now they are trying, this is a fact, folks, a fact. It's insane. They are literally, it says, what, grab your wallet, public employee unions want California to tax unrealized capital gains. So what they, I mean, by the way, I didn't mention this. Going through the legislature right now in the state, they're wanting to put in a two-digit plus 5% exit tax. For what? Leaving the state of California. And an annual wealth tax. And now a tax on unrealized capital gains. What does that mean? That means if you have a house that you bought for $250,000 10 years ago and it's worth $650,000 now, well, on paper, you made $400,000. You better pay tax on it every year. I mean, folks, where this is the twilight zone. These are times that this country is being hijacked. That's the problem. It's like cancer. They just let a little bit in. We just want a little bit. We just want a teeny tiny little bit, and then it's over. That's how the income tax became illegally involved, too. Crazy. Nuttier than nut. We've got this vaccine propaganda. I'm sitting here looking at all this stuff, all these plandemic things. So they're basically using, the U.S. government's planning to launch an overwhelming COVID-19 vaccine campaign this coming November. Prepare, folks. You talk about the mark, you know, you sit there like, oh, I won't take the mark. We only know it because the Bible tells us the mark of the beast is something that exists. Why is it so important that they just hammer press everybody? You're going to get this vaccine. You're going to get this vaccine. Vaccines don't work. They can't even come up with a vaccine that's viable against coronavirus. Coronavirus has 223 variations. This COVID-19 is a total lie. It's a grand deception. If you've listened to the show, I've documented it scientifically using published medical journal articles. It's not hyperbole or innuendo or opinion or hype. It's absolute scientific fact. Not one person on record can be verified to have died from COVID alone. COVID is just a name of the most recent coronavirus. It's just a crazy hype. The CFR, case fatality rate, or infected fatality rates below 0.1%, lower than the flu. And that's with incredible quantities of false reporting. I discussed the deputy director of the World Health Organization, who stepped down, called the WHO a criminal organization. He had some other words before that, who created a false pandemic with no verifiable or objective data or information, etc. And then the director of the European Health Union and all these world-renowned pathologists got together, and they got the parliamentary governments in Europe to give them permission to exhume 400 bodies who supposedly died from COVID. Of the 400 that supposedly died from COVID, 378 didn't have it. The other 22 had underlying conditions ranging from 3 and up, additional conditions that were much more likely to have caused the death. There was no evidence in a postmortem, posthumous exhumation, whatever it is when you dig up a body. The autopsies that were run, they had no indication that COVID played a role. They did find a couple who had been murdered by the healthcare system over there, ramming respirator tubes down their lungs. And then they say, oh, shoot, it didn't work. They got pneumonia. This stuff is just out of control. Folks, if you don't have your science in a row, if you don't know the facts, they're going to say, take this vaccine. Why so much pressure on this vaccine? When you've got Bill Gates, who's got the patent for this coronavirus since 2012, was, the patent to genetically modify it for genomic sequencing, genetic modification. He was conducting exercises or working with the University of North Carolina until 2017, which is kind of mysterious. A friend of mine who's been as close to the president as anybody I've ever known on multiple occasions that told me clearly, he said, Kevin, he has way, way more intel than he will ever let you know. And he's a brave man. He's willing to take the heat and the pressure from the media and everybody else. in order to conduct whatever agenda is best for the American people. So in 2017, somehow the National Institute on Health shut down this coronavirus genetic modification university in North Carolina. That's when Bill Gates, who owned the patent, paid for, funded, and opened the Wuhan lab. You know, he got all these science awards from China. And then the two professors, one from UNC and one from Harvard, were arrested trying to transport the genetically modified virus over there, even though the NIH believed they'd already confiscated it all, so that it was hidden and lied. These guys literally went to jail. As far as I know, they're still there. Media doesn't cover that. And then, you know, so how far did they get in their modification? We don't know. What are they really up to? The virus really isn't what they say it is. It's not that lethal. It doesn't even hardly exist. And yet, we're just panicking, shutting down the world. You know, we're living in this misery, wearing masks all the time. I've covered it, but I'll do it again. It's the width of one of these coronaviruses is 1/157,000,000th of a millimeter, okay? If you had a mask that even had holes that were 1/10th of a millimeter, that would make it 1/15. It would make the coronavirus 1/15,700,000th fraction of that hole, of 1/10th of a millimeter. If that means nothing to you, the point is this. It's physically impossible to keep that or anything else without a mask. No type of mask does it. Not to mention air coming in from the sides, you touching your face 10 to 20 times. I talk to people about this in the shop a little bit. A lot of them accept it. Some people freak out, you know, blow, you know, oh my gosh, you know, and it's just, they don't want the truth. It's crazy to me. Like I said earlier, you know, we've got to use our brain. And we get so narrow-minded, you know, you turn on CNN, you hear people just filth talk the president. I've seen the way they talk about him. Shame on them. Even if they were right, shame. Shame. And they're terrifying the people, and they're pushing this agenda. Why? Because the liberals are taking every angle they can to steal this election. It's going to get ugly, folks. They're trying everything. They want to do mail ballots to every single person who's ever been registered to vote. Well, I'll tell you what, they leave those registrations open because they never expire, okay? If you don't want to vote for 20 years and you want to vote on the 21st year, there you lie. Your registration is active because you're permanently registered to vote. Well, I can tell you, I've probably been registered to vote 5-6 different locations. So these ballots are going to be going out to all these old addresses. That's why the liberals are freaking out and yelling at this guy. They want him to step down. They want to get his man in there because think of all those ballots. They can go through somehow, pick up all the duplicates, have them dumped at one location, and just fake the heck out. They want to steal. Why would you want something you had to steal to get? I get it's one thing if your family's starving and you got to steal food to feed them. That isn't the case here. They want to steal from you, the American people, because you know why? You don't know any better. You're not smart enough to take care of yourself. You need those Democrats to show you how, because you just, you know, you're not smart enough. You're just a sheeple. Yale University is studying the effectiveness of a variety of messaging in order to persuade people to want the vaccine. So the effectiveness of various messages about vaccinating against COVID-19 to ensure maximum vaccine uptake. Phase 3, folks, requires a vaccine or a treatment to reopen so we can have major events again with large groups of people. That's put down federally. Trump came out the other day and said, the liberals are using COVID to steal the election. Well, he's right. And I suspect he may be well aware that it's a farce. But he's got to play along. if they're getting to that point, I mean, to force you to take that, I'm telling you, I'm not a fan of vaccines. And I know what they've done to kids. I don't know if you're aware of this, but since COVID hit and they stopped vaccinating children at birth and in early infancy, all SIDS and all early onset autism have disappeared. That I've read and also spoken to a doctor, a friend of mine who's very familiar with it, and it's a fact. Sudden infant death syndrome, where kids just you mysteriously die in the crib, it's always after a vaccination. These things are bad. They're full of poison. I mean, I could go down the list, you know. All the chemicals they put in it, that's what they always talk about. But the whole thing is you have a supposedly dead pathogen, which has a responsibility. It's a creation of whatever it is. And it goes into the body when it's alive, and it doesn't infect everything. When you do a vaccination, that dead vaccine or that dead virus goes everywhere in the body. It settles where there's inflammation. Your body comes after it and goes, this is bad. Your T cells identify it. They associate it with your protein swelling, which is basically inflammation. And then they create an antibody against the mammalian protein associated with this virus. This is where you get all these autoimmune disorders. So they jam everybody into this vaccine. You think they start creating all these horrible diseases. You think that they're going to ever take responsibility? No way. I'd be clear. It's still unclear exactly when, supposedly, a vaccine will be available. But they say it could be available as early as October or as late as January. Well, I can assure you, it isn't coming before the election. Not if Bill Gates has anything to do with it. Because they want it. This thing will go on through the election. If Trump wins, Trump will win. Whether or not he gets it stolen and lied, I can't tell you. But I'll tell you what. Through the election, if he wins, it's going to get nasty. We need to ban up. I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, they want to have large prayer organizations and unite people, and that's all awesome. But we need to unite on a grander scale. And we got to get people to put their non-doctrinal differences aside. So many churches and groups of Christians get separated over non-doctrinal issues. You look at the Apostles' Creed, those are the bottom line doctrinal issues. Anything over and above that is ancillary. It's not necessary. It's just theological debate. And you have entire churches built on this premise, you know, on the, you know, some are the loss of salvation. You know, Jesus said there's one unforgivable sin, blaspheming the Spirit. And that's pretty much saying, I reject you. You know, it's just like Jesus said, you reject me before man, I'll reject you before my Father. You accept me before man, I'll accept you before my Father. And then he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands and all that. Yeah. But the bottom line is your heart. Do you love God? Do you stand up for him? Do you believe in him? Is he part of your life? And are you a pleasant aroma to the world? You're not just an obnoxious gong and a clanging cymbal, as Paul calls it, you know, because we got to have love. So they're saying October or as late as January, but it won't, you know, it'll be post-election. So according to a White House administration official, the advertising campaign will be tailored to specific subsets of the population. Oh, goody. Depending on the people, the vaccine is likely to benefit the most. Elderly. Elderly are afraid. They say you got low immune, you're super susceptible. It says the primary outcome measure of this marketing campaign they're building is the willingness to get the COVID-19 vaccine. That's how they measure it, obviously. It's like any kind of advertising. Secondary outcome measures include the participants' confidence in the vaccine, their willingness to persuade others to get vaccinated. That's where the pressure comes on. Their fear of those who've not been vaccinated, and the level of social judgment of those who choose not to vaccinate. This is the government's measure that they're working with Yale universities to study the effectiveness of this various messaging about getting people to vaccinate against COVID-19. I want to repeat this. Folks, this is how they take over a nation, socialistically and everything. You got guys like Bill Gates, these guys, the George Soros and the Bill Gates. Huge amounts of money, obviously, can do amazing things, but they can also do a lot of damage. Bill Gates has been a decabillionaire longer than any other man on earth. And so here's the measure. And it stinks that, you know, Trump has kind of let these monsters in. He's put the foxes in charge of the hen house. He doesn't know. He's not an expert. He may know, but what's he going to say? Is he going to come out and go, folks, I've yet to see real, legitimate, empirical evidence that proves that anyone's ever died from COVID. Oh, he's crazy wacko. If he wins the next election, you might hear something like that come out of his mouth. Maybe he'll be the protector of civil rights, you know? Your ability to feel secure in your persons. You know, the Fourth Amendment is your bodily freedom, if you will, to do whatever you want with your body. It says that you have a right to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects. What that means is exactly that. It means you have to be secure and comfortable. Now, you think about this whole COVID thing, this marketing. It's like having peer pressure on kids, teenagers, to take drugs. You know they're bad. If everyone's doing it, does that make it right? How many times in history have we done this? This is why they tell us we're a democracy, we're a democracy, we're a democracy. 51% can vote to take from 49. 51% can vote to kill the 49. We're not a democracy, but folks, this is the most radical push in the history of this nation. This election is literally the biggest, most important event ever. And if Trump got in office and we lost the House and the Senate, I'm telling you, ugly. We have seen the Nancy Pelosi's and Adam Schiff's prove to us they'll do anything. There are no morals or ethics, okay? I know I'm harping, but hey. So here, one more time. Secondary outcome, first outcome is willingness to get the vaccine. Secondary outcome of this marketing plan, it's coming. I mean, they're talking about October. This is going to get ugly. I don't know when it'll come exactly, but one more time. They're measuring it by participants' confidence in the vaccine, so propaganda brainwashing. Their willingness to persuade others to get vaccinated, that is socialism, communism at its finest. That creates, you know, neighbors tattling on neighbors. It's ugly, ugly, ugly. The fear of those who have not been vaccinated, that's what you do, is give a false fear of your neighbor because he didn't get a shot. I mean, folks, we've been around a long time as humans, and this is nothing. This doesn't even have any of the symptoms of a pandemic. It's just a big farce. The left, man. And the last thing, okay, fear of those who have not been vaccinated and the level of social judgment of those who choose not to vaccinate. You can't come in my business. You better show me your card. Folks, prepare. Evidence that technocracy is gaining ground and is in the final stages of implementation are all around us. Technocracy, they call it, is an economic system, not a political one. It hinges on the skillful implementation of social engineering. This is their thing. By the looks of it, we're going to face one of the most aggressive vaccine campaigns ever created. According to Reuters, U.S. government's planning to launch an overwhelming COVID-19 vaccine campaign come November, provided the U.S. Food and Drug Administration gives one or more vaccine candidates the green light. Considering former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb is now on Pfizer's board of directors, and Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine is one of the lead candidates. Jaded minds might assume the FDA isn't going to put up any significant roadblocks. According to Reuters, the COVID-19 vaccine campaign will, quote, will likely be compressed into a short period of time, around 4 to 6 weeks, to eliminate any lag between when Americans are alerted to the vaccine and when they need to be vaccinated. An unnamed senior White House administration is quoted as saying, do I have time for this? Barely. The fine line we're walking is getting the American people very excited about vaccines and missing expectations versus having a bunch of vaccines in the warehouse and not as many people wanting to get it. You may not hear a lot about promoting vaccines over the airwaves in August and September, but you'll be overwhelmed by it come November. This is all building up, folks. Give up the ghost. It's like, you know, and so they keep, they go on, they have all this, all these participants they're testing, you know, personal freedom message about how COVID-19 is limiting your personal freedom, lock you down. You want freedom, get the button, you know, hit the shot. Economic freedom, a message about how COVID's limiting your economic freedom and how society, by working together, can get people vaccinated, can preserve its economic freedom, and it goes down in an amount of time. Self-interest message, how COVID-19 prevents this huge danger to your health. Community interest message, the dangers of COVID-19 to the health of your loved ones. Economic benefits of how COVID-19 is wreaking havoc on the economy. And only way to strengthen the economy is to work together to get enough people vaccinated. Guilt message, embarrassment message, anger message, trust in science message, and not a brave message, it says. So we're out of time. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Sorry I haven't said it. Get your money secured. Times, they're changing. God bless. Bye-bye. Thank you.